Welcome back into the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Guys, I don't know how you can't start the show without mentioning the Vancouver Canucks and Petey. 4 points last night, 2-2. Vancouver Canucks edged the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's got 12 points in his last four games, and he is absolutely on fuego on the road.
Yeah, OT winner. I mean, he is a truly, he's a special player. It's amazing how the discussions would be in Toronto if this guy were kicking around.
Let's drive up the price.
No. We don't have to drive up.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't have to do
that
it.
Everywhere else with the Leafs guys.
Come on.
Drive it up, baby.
His price, he's driving it. He doesn't need our help. He's doing it all by himself. Or maybe Doug McLean might help him as well, because if he's not the MVP right now.
He's in the conversation, like,
come on.
I'd say.
It's
been pretty wonderful.
Absolutely in the conversation.
He's close. He's definitely a finalist, if you ask me. It's one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean 57 points in 42 games right now.
Which means he's on pace for?
I'm just doing that.
I got into a little on-pace problem last night during Leafs talk, so it's okay.
Before we broke out of the first hour, we were talking about
111.
Rantanen and his situation, where he gets to negotiate just like Pettersson, July 1st. And we talked to Arif Dean, who covers the Colorado Avalanche, and he threw out 12-6 like it was, or 12-5 like it was nothing for Rantanen. I mean, that, I don't know, you might start the conversation. It might go north of that.
Is there a chance it's as much as Matthews?
It's a good question.
Petey is an RFA, which I don't know if that changes.
No, it doesn't change a thing. You have to negotiate July 1st like he's UFA. Yeah. Doesn't matter, because now you run the risk of him going further down the road. Does the Vancouver Canucks, are they as confident as the Toronto Maple Leafs that, hey, we don't have to get it done by July 1st? But we will get it done then in January or February.
I don't know if they're confident in that. You know, I think it's an uncomfortable thing. Like, you know, talking to Friedge in the past, he has said that as soon as Petey wants to talk, they'll talk. So I don't know where they would be, the Canucks, in terms of how they feel comfort-wise.
It's just one of those situations where it's very eerily similar to the Willie situation here, where it's like you probably didn't want to have to pay him a whole lot. But what, are you going to lose him?
Yeah.
You're just going to have to pay him what he wants. That's what happened with Willie. I mean, he's having the best season he's ever had. He's in a contract year. I guess the RFA thing. But you said it doesn't matter that much.
Okay.
You just got to pay him. Trade him?
If by chance Willie Nylander doesn't resign and he walks, it's still not a catastrophe in Toronto with Matthews and Marner.
Okay.
Where, if this guy walks in 16 months, 18 months, where is it for Vancouver?
Besser and Miller don't do it for you in the same way?
No. This guy is irreplaceable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a two-way force on top of being, you know, the offensive dynamo, on top of getting better all the time, you know, filling out that sort of lean frame. He's all over people now.
All right, is Doug ready or...
I texted him to come on.
Where's he been?
I don't know.
No, you know what? I was just thinking, watching you guys, well, Petey and Willie and Rance, like, seriously. I mean, I'm not up on the nicknames like you guys are, so, you know, I need it. But you know what I was thinking, watching you guys there? You look really good, and I feel I'm bleached out down here in Florida, and I need Hillary here to do some makeup or something.
You're not paying
me, so can you at least get me a makeup artist that can bleach me out a little bit here?
For those of you that cannot see Doug on a Zoom, he's got another terrific shirt on.
You are in
your all Florida retirement mode right now.
Well, I'm going. I had to dress business casual because I'm going out to a country club for dinner tonight, and I had to look good. But listen, Petey, is that the guy in Vancouver?
That's right.
The one thing you didn't mention when you're talking about Petey and what he's doing is what he's doing for Besser and what he's doing for Miller. And by the way, doesn't he have them in first place in the entire NHL? And right now, probably the number one team. Imagine Vancouver and Winnipeg 1-2 in the NHL.
Oh, no,
like,
no.
Seriously.
Like, is there anyone that wouldn't pay right now big bucks to see that best of seven?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and playing hard. So Petey's got them there. Did you see the movie made last night? The inside the blue line with the hold up, and
yes,
and then
the little cutback thing. Yeah,
unbelievable little play. But you know what? I said it to Nick a couple of years ago when they're in their Stanley Cup run with Travis Green coach, and I said he reminds me of Datsyuk with his hockey sense. This guy is over the top with hockey sense, hands, skill. And then he had a drop off last year when they were in turmoil. You know, it's funny how you redo your blue line. Vancouver redid their blue line, boys, basically. Quinn's there, but they really redid the back end, and some pretty good pickups. Demko comes back, solid goaltending, and all of a sudden they're the best team in the league, and coaching.
Mac,
coaching change.
What does the Vancouver Canucks do? Like, how do you negotiate now apples to apples? Like, take the Willie Nylander against Pastrnak. That seemed to have been the comparison all this time. But,
yeah,
you know, regardless of whether you think one's better than the other or one's tougher than the other or one's smarter than the other, what happens if Pettersson goes to the Vancouver Canucks and say, hey, listen, I want to be the highest paid guy in the league by a dollar. What do they do?
Okay, I'm telling you, it's not a Nylander comparison. So put Willie aside right now. It's not even close to a Nylander. It's a Matthews comparison. He's a centerman, the number one centerman. He's playing great hockey. He's got a chance to be a superstar. Vancouver, is he as good as Matthews? I don't want to get into that because I love what Matthews is doing and how well he's played since he's come into the league. I don't want to get into that, but he's that important to the Vancouver Canucks, every bit as important as Matthews is the Leafs. Vancouver Canucks cannot lose two players, boys. They can't lose Quinn, and they can't lose Petey, and they better not lose them. So you know what you do? There's no negotiation in this. It's like, how hard are we going to get hammered here?
Oh my gosh.
On this deal? How hard are we going to get him? And Pat Brisson is drooling over this one.
Oh, you know, Jimmy Rutherford or, you know, Brendan Shanahan, they're their presidents ultimately. They're like bank tellers now being held up. All these players have to do is just go in there and say, put the money in the bag and don't try any funny stuff. That's it. That's the negotiation.
I love how we talk about and they go on about the negotiations. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I did enough of them with guys I had that were no damn good, and I know how tough they were. You know, when you're negotiating a contract for the best players on your team, whether it was a Nash I was doing or whatever, that was small time compared to this guy who's a franchise player. This guy and Quinn, and the Quinn in New Jersey when he comes due. Those guys are franchise players. And you, Vancouver, like, seriously, boys, it's just get it done. Jimmy Tellalan or whatever his name is there, get it done.
So looking at our Canadian teams here, obviously the Canucks red hot, Winnipeg red hot. The Oilers have won 9 in a row. You know, have we gone in like a month or two from this team's going to miss playoffs and blow it all up and everyone's going to leave to their like the cup favorites in Canada? Maybe not in Canada.
You know what? It really pisses me off that you guys don't run the clip of me saying 6 weeks ago they were going to make the playoffs and don't worry about it. Just relax. It wasn't going to happen. They were coming on and they win 9 in a row. I watched their last two games. Like, Nick, I've seen you deke in your noon hour league, and you're a pretty good deeker. You know, when you used to deke Millard, you know, when you and Millard had put the goalie pads on and make on, he was a goalie, and you'd deke him, you look pretty good. What about What about McDavid's deeks on breakaway?
Never seen anything.
I've never seen anything even remotely close to that. And I watch it the last couple of games, and I go, oh, man, is he unbelievable. But you know what? I fell asleep the other night when they did the 15-minute offside checkup. I think Coley Campbell and his group fell asleep, too, in the Toronto office, because it took them 15 minutes to decide on that offside. But anyway, look, they're not ready to compete, Edmonton. They still have to. They need a couple of additions there, boys. They need a number three centerman, big time. And I think they need a little. Well, obviously, they need a backup goaltender. Although the kid last night in Detroit battled hard, so they're not ready to contend, but they're close. And with McDavid and Draisaitl and Kane and company, Hopkins, Hyman, what a story Hyman's become. So they're right there. I'd love to see a series between them, Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto. It'd be great to see.
We'd like to go to the tape where you said the Oilers were going to make the playoffs 6 weeks ago. But the moment your segment is over, we burn it.
Well, then I was just thinking, I do so many of these damn shows that maybe it was on another show. Maybe it was on the Two Mutts podcast in Edmonton or somewhere that I did that. But no, I did. I was quite confident they were going to be all right.
Okay.
But, you know, that's okay. You don't need to run it. I'm not looking for a job. You know,
no, we know that. We got to ask you about Corey.
Hello, Dave Poulin got a job. Jacques Martin got a job. Like, seriously, like,
how can you not get a job?
Jeez. And Berkey, next thing he'll get another president's job, not only the women's league, but he'll leave the women's league and get another president's job. You know, anyway, okay.
I got to ask you about Corey Perry and whether or not there's concerns about, is it easier for him to go to a quieter market than, say, a Canadian market?
Well, it's interesting. Somebody sent me a note today, would Edmonton look at him? And I'm thinking, well, I mean, I think Edmonton really are focused on a backup goalie, and I don't know what Kenny's focused on. I'm just thinking this, and I'm thinking, you know, a really bona fide number three checking centerman, defensive type centerman would really fit in well there and let the kids come along. But you know what? I think he can go and help somebody. And what is going on? Like, this is what, taking 2 months to sort this out? This is like the offside ruling. Like, seriously.
I don't think there's anything to sort out. I think there's just a quiet period, and then he comes back and plays somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I mean, the contract was going to be terminated. I mean, I hope he comes back. I don't know what happened. I don't know the details. I'd like to see a guy finish in a great career that he had on a high note.
Do you think
he can help teams in the playoffs?
Do you think everybody, including on the internet, would feel like you, or would they just be digging, like still trying to find out answers, like most of them try and speculate?
Yeah, you know, I've never been an insider, so I don't pay much attention to that stuff. I like to watch the games and see who wins and loses, and leave the rest of that stuff to you and Elliot.
No, not me.
Born there, you know, you insiders. I wish Cox was still there doing it, and I could really have some fun. But anyway, you know, it's fun watching all you guys it's almost like watching the Business Channel, CNBC, when the market's up and when the market's down. And I listen to these geniuses, and I'm thinking, they're like the hockey guys. They haven't got a clue what's going on. They just talk.
Oh, he's just lighting $100 cigars with his American money, watching us go in.
Yeah, getting in his Porsche.
Yeah. Oh, and Max gone. Is it Doug? Okay, hold on. Let's go back. Come back to Doug.
I wish you were here.
Those look beautiful. Look at that beautiful case he's got. He's doing all right.
Using a Bic lighter. He ain't, he's not using the $100 bills.
Striking a match.
With his Bic lighter, he's lighting them up.
So, Mac, yesterday we had a conversation with Therrien out of Philly. You know, they're discussing all Cutter Gauthier, John Tortorella sources. Give us your latest, your vibe, your feeling, your thoughts on Cutter Gauthier for Jamie Drysdale.
Well, you know, I said it to Nick the other day, and I sort of chuckle. I go back in the old days, but I'll never forget Blake Wheeler, fifth overall pick of the Arizona Coyotes, would not sign. I mean, people got fired when they drafted Blake Wheeler in Arizona. People were so upset about that pick, where most people had him in the second round, but they took this big kid. All of a sudden, he goes to Green Bay in the USHL, becomes a 6'5" winger, goes to the University of Minnesota, becomes a star, and all of a sudden, he won't sign. He won't sign with Arizona. Boston, get him done. So the kid is exercising his rights. That's what he's doing. And we used to worry about that. We used to worry about when you draft a kid and he goes to college, you've got to be 100% aware of his rights and what he can do if he wants to sit out. Or hold out, wait out till he graduates. It's so, you know what, I was a little disappointed in Philly's reaction. I got to tell you, I really was. You know, you lost the player, you made a good trade, suck it up and move on. But to say he wouldn't talk to me, and I mean,
Didn't they need to protect themselves as new guys in those roles a little bit and explain why they just traded a guy that everyone loves?
Well, because he wouldn't sign with them, I guess. And, you know, he wouldn't even talk to them. So what went awry? What happened there? When you draft a kid, you spend so much time. They've got 100 player development guys running all over the country talking to these players. They got 100 assistants. Like, what do you mean nobody will talk to them? Like, I didn't.
Mac,
I was confused by it.
The feeling is they had enough talks where it was abundantly clear he did not want to sign there. So what's right. left? Even if he There's doesn't want left. To tell you, he doesn't want to tell you.
What's left is you can make him wait. That's all that's left.
Yes.
And risk losing him for nothing.
But that's so 2.5 years from now.
That's right. So you say you say, okay, that's fine. You're not going to sign with us. We'll wait a year. We'll wait a year and see where we are. But you're taking a big risk of losing a guy for nothing, or at least you're up against a timeline on a deal. I don't know if Drysdale's any good. I know people were talking about him this summer when he was a free agent. Looked like he was going to be a really good player when he was drafted. I don't know what he's going to be now. But when you draft kids and they go to college, it's all bets are off, boys. That's just the way it is. And that's the CBA. And you know it inside out as a GM. And your cap guys know it inside out. That's all you can do. But to you know, like, I don't know him from a hole in the wall. Like, I mean, come on. Seriously.
A bit much.
Yeah, a bit much. Okay, I cannot leave your segment without asking you about the team that you ruined, Columbus Blue Jackets. Word is that their goaltender, Merzlikins, has confirmed he wants to be traded. So what do you make of Elvis wanting to leave the building?
Well, it's funny. And, you know, it's like when they asked Mark Crawford for a scouting report on him when he was playing in Europe and he was a superstar. And there he said, his name's Elvis. Do I have to tell you anything more? That pretty well sums up, you know, Elvis has been, you know, he's been a hot shot. The coach says he doesn't want to play him because management want to see the other guy. Then management say it's a coaching decision. So what's really going on? So, and then he says, well, I'm not going to be a third goaltender, and I'm not going to get enough practice time as a third goaltender, and I'm a number one goalie. Well, look, he's been good at times. He's been good at times, and he's been bad at times. But I'll tell you what happened. If you watch the Washington game a week to 10 days ago, remember what happened when he made the faux pas at the end of the game? And that was the start of it. Mm. And Washington players all laughed at him, and they lost the game. And then I haven't seen hide nor hair of him then. I don't know him from a hole in the wall now. You know, so what something happened after that game? They blamed him for the loss against Washington. Remember that the battle at the net, and he took the penalty and they scored in the power play in overtime? Hasn't been the same since. So they're tired of him. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And it looks like he might be tired of them. I hate hearing guys. And you know what I love about him? He said, I won't sell my house. I love Columbus. I'm going to keep my house. Like, who cares if you keep your house?
Nobody cares. That's funny. So should the Leafs trade for Elvis?
When I get fired in Columbus, I'm on my way to the airport to go somewhere, and Jill phones me and said, somebody just phoned, wants to buy our house, like 5 minutes after I get fired. I didn't say, well, I'm going to keep my house because I really love it here.
Yeah. Okay, so what do the Leafs do with their goalie? Should they trade for Elvis? Should they start Hildeby? Should they start Samsonov? What are they going to do?
Trade for Elvis? You're not serious. Serious.
I don't know. They got I'm asking you.
You know, What do they do for the goalie? Well, Murray's coming back, I heard.
Yeah, that's what Kip tells me.
They don't rule him out.
They get a first-round pick for him from Pittsburgh, maybe.
Dubas sends something back.
There's a real problem here in goal. The kid's going to come back, and that'll solve their problems. He's going to be well-rested, and that's going to solve their problems. So how far away is he? Is he still a couple of weeks away? What's the word on him?
Samsonov, the kid?
No, Wohl.
Oh, yeah, he's still a ways away, right?
I don't know. They think he could maybe go on a road trip, the Western road trip, but I don't think it's imminent that he's going to be playing still anytime soon. But we'll have to wait and see.
But they don't need him.
No.
You know, if he's back a month before the playoffs, 6 weeks before the playoffs, that's all they need. And get him in the right frame of mind. I mean, this kid could be really, really important. He looked so good before he got hurt. And I think with him, so who's going to be the backup? Jones, Samsonov, I don't really care who's going to be the backup, because they're not going to win with the backup. The only chance they have to win is if he comes back and he's as good as when he left, unless they change their blue line a little bit. I read Borny's comments today about how much he loves watching Giordano, and I'm thinking, I don't like watching him as much as Bourne does. I like watching him 5 years ago as much, but not right now. And, you know, I've said it since day one. Look, you love Giordano. You love what he brings to the table. You love his career. He's quality through and through. But I watched him last year in the playoffs, boys. He was tired.
He was hurting.
So
hopefully a little fresher going into the playoffs.
Hopefully he's a little fresher, and that's really going to be critical to make sure he is.
Okay, last one for me in Ottawa. Pinto's back skating. He's going to play against the Flyers, I believe, on the 21st. Just your thoughts on him changing at all the dynamic of Ottawa in any way, shape, or form. But overall, like, how shocking are you that Ottawa never even scratched the surface on being somewhat of a playoff team?
I'm shocked. I really am. I really thought they were going to take a major step. And now, here's your real dilemma in Ottawa. And we talked about it. You know, you guys asked me about Shabbat, Chychrun, or at least I mentioned those names. But here's their problem. Sanderson is by far their best defense. Mm-hmm. He's blown by these guys. He is blown by them. And now what do you do? With the money he's making, the money Shabbat and Chychrun are making, how do you restructure, rebuild, and fix this team? I know they're out looking for defensemen right now to fill a gap in the back end, but it shocked me. It shocked me how bad that group has become. I thought Jock could go in and help them a little bit. Are they worse? Are they worse or what? They're no better. That's for damn sure. And their goaltend has been so abysmal. I love Garriott's tweets during the game. I wish a goalie would make a save. But anyway, I'm shocked by it. I thought they would contend. I thought they would contend for a playoff spot. And it's been a disaster. And you know what? I feel bad for them. I mean, I feel bad for them because we looked at the Bathursons and the Norrises and the Tkachuks and these kids as being really high-end type of players. And none of them, as Stutzel, he hasn't even been great, and he's a hell of a player. So I'm just really disappointed in Ottawa. I really am.
You know, if I can get you to come out of your shell a little bit, I think you got a real future in broadcasting.
Well, you know what? I was watching Jimmy Johnson on the show the other day Jimmy's on the NFL Fox broadcast, and I looked up, he's 80. Like, he's 80.
There you go.
Harry Sinden just stepped down from Sports Management Worldwide as a professor. I've just taken his job in that little gig. And Harry stepped down at 91. So you're
telling me is the Real Kipper and Bourne Show found you work.
The book found me work. I mean, they're going to have that as a textbook for the show.
Oh, my God. We came so close to not mentioning the book.
All right. Who at Sportsnet continues to put it up? We've sold enough books.
That's either Jen or Hillary. They were my two, or Deb Berman. They were my three favorite people there. So it's one of the three putting it up. But listen, you know what? I'm going to be in Toronto next week. I got to fly up on Tuesday for a book signing, and I'm doing a speech. So, or what do you call it? What do you call those, Nick?
Just an appearance.
An appearance. You call it a cash cow. I call it an appearance. I phoned my agent last week and said, what should I charge for this book signing appearance? And Nick says, well, this is what I'd charge. I come in a little lighter and, you know, I got the deal done.
Well, let us know where you're going to be and we'll go the other way.
Yeah, they haven't notified me yet which courtyard Marriott I'm staying at.
Get him in studio.
All right, Doug, you didn't disappoint us, Mac. Put it right back in the ditch for about 15 minutes. Thanks for doing this, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Former NHL president, GM, head coach, and the author of Draft Day, How Teams Pick Winners or Get Left Behind, Doug McLean.
The one and only. Are we going to get him in studio? Will he catch fire if he walks on Sportsnet property? What happened?
Oh, my God.
The alarm. Code red.
I can't even tell you the number of people that would find him and give him a big hug.
Oh.
Yeah. Hugs for sure.
All right.
From everyone.
Game time?
Let her rip, Sammy.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Couple interesting ones here, looking at the future market, as you like to make fun of me for, but looking at the futures. Mm-hmm. The injury to Connor Bedard has really made the Calder Trophy thing more interesting now.
For sure.
Because he's down to a minus 180 favorite, and he's been minus basically 500 all year. Been a huge favorite.
Right.
Luke Hughes is coming in right behind him at plus 400. Brock Faber at 6-1, and Fantilli 8-1. Then it jumps up to Marco Rossi. The question I have off of that, like, is that, you know, is injury, like, was he having a good enough year? Because 6 to 8 weeks is a really long time to miss.
I don't think he pulled away far enough to say that, you'd give it to someone who played more games. So the Faber one is interesting to me. Is his ice time still 20 minutes plus? Probably.
Who's that?
Brock Faber in Minnesota. He's been really good for them. Which would make that a tempting bet for me.
What about Luke Hughes? Like, what's his minutes at?
Luke Hughes is playing a ton.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And Faber's playing 24-41 on average.
Wow.
Per night. 20 points.
It just seems that we're in this era where you just gotta have numbers and, you know, light it up on the score sheet. And I don't know. I think if one of those guys as a defenseman can prove top four status in their rookie year and their team's having some success. Absolutely, you got to look at these guys.
How many points does Faber have?
20.
So Luke Hughes is at 23 in 39 games played, 7 goals, 16 assists. So they're both having a really good year. So
do you have his TOI per chance?
Yeah, I do. I do have it. It is just over 20 per game.
That's still very, very good.
20.6.
20.6, yeah.
As a rookie 25. Coming out of college.
25.
That, right? God, that family's so rich.
Yeah.
So rich. Oh, my God.
Okay.
And
just they all, like, this summer, they're just coming in, if I'm the dad, just coming in the living room and just dump it in the middle of the floor.
Yeah. Is there a cast-off sibling somewhere that's like,
and,
you know?
We mentioned the Elias Pettersson as a finalist for the Hart.
Yeah.
According to our beloved Bet365, he's not even close.
No.
So McDavid, McKinnon, Kucherov, Pastrnak, Austin Matthews, Jack Hughes.
He's in the conversation.
Arturi Panarin, Quinn Hughes are all ahead of him. He's 28-1.
He's with a handful of guys.
Well, then a good place to find value.
28-1.
Now, listen,
for a guy that we think's having one of the best years in the league.
I don't know who brought up the conversation between Pettersson and Matthews. And Matthews is regarded now as one of the best goal scorers in the history of the game.
Yeah.
No question.
Okay? In the history of the game. But he can't pass like Pettersson. He doesn't see the ice like Pettersson. This guy's a pure shooter. Okay? So, I don't know. Where do you value? Where do you put your value? What do you mean?
I'm asking you. I mean,
Matthews is an average passer.
Yeah.
Okay?
But if you are starting a team tomorrow, who are you taking? Matthews 10 times out of 10.
Well, yeah, because there's that hyped up 70 goal scorer. That's the ultimate sales job, is to put the puck in the net.
Yeah, that's the point of the game.
It's the most marketable sales job out there, is the guy that puts it in the net. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the game, right? And as a distributor of the puck, as a guy that can see the ice better, who can't shoot the puck in the net as often as Matthews, Petey's right up there.
For sure.
He's here first.
He's definitely up there, but he's not as good, in my opinion.
No, I'm with you there. I don't think so either. But yes.
And the last thing I had, quick little same game parlay, only two games under in action tonight. Nashville in Dallas. Give me a little revenge parlay with Matt Duchene to score.
Duchene's been very good this
year.
And
the Dallas Stars to win in regulation is +360. So there you go.
Right.
There's a little something for you. And that was Game Time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay. Take a break right here.
Text.
You got
text.
Yes, 590.
News and notes. We didn't even discuss Nick Foligno, who got a brand new contract extension. So we'll tell you all about that after the break. And as Sammy had said, we're going to go through some tweets. We want to hear from you. So make sure you text us at 590-590. Is that right?
You got it.
Wow. I know, you're really good. I'm really, really good at that. So don't go away.
Everything Raptors, before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're down the stretch this week on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We take some news and notes in, and your texts. Word out of Chicago, Nick Foligno has signed a 2-year, $9 million deal. Now, can you guys confirm for me that he asked for 6 and they insisted he took 9? Is that what happened here?
Turn your mic on.
Who are you bidding against at that number?
I get it.
Was someone else going to give him eight?
He's had a great career. He continues to have some good contributions. But this is just finding the right team at the right time. And listen, he brings a ton of credibility. For sure he does. But this is just a team that needs to get to the floor, I would imagine.
Is that what this is about? Do you know who their highest earning player on their cap friendly pages for forwards, among forwards?
Taylor Hall.
He's on the IR, so he's not currently playing. It's Jason Dickinson making 2.6, and then Kurashev at 2.2.
Yeah.
That's their top guys.
Which means that
That's David Camp money.
They need Nick taking 4.5 next year.
God, he found a great situation.
They couldn't have found other places to spend the money in free agency. I think Foligno's an awesome ambassador for the game and a great player and yada, yada. Even Nick Foligno doesn't think he's worth 4.5 a year, does he?
This is where the system is really screwed up, where guys are just fighting tooth and nail for every dollar. And one of the rare teams in the league has to overspend just to make the floor in the salary cap. It's really strange.
Well, you know what? They have Tyler Johnson's $5 million coming off the cap at the end of this season, as well as Anthony Beauvillier's $4.1 million. So there's $9.1 million they suddenly have freed up. Got to give to someone, I guess, is the point. Athanasiou's making $4.2 million.
Yeah.
Hall's making $6 million for one more year.
Anyway.
Hell of an agent.
I mean, he's getting some of that too. He's doing pretty well.
But, you know, this has been something that I've been taught my whole life about treating people well and being nice to people and being a good guy. I'm on TV and like, I don't belong here. He's got me this far. Like, Nick Foligno is the most well-liked person in the NHL. Like, have you ever talked to anybody or heard anybody say one bad thing about the guy?
No.
He's beloved everywhere he goes. Like,
and I
talked to him on the radio in the summer. I thought we were best friends after. Like, he's the nicest guy in the world. That goes a long way.
And if he was healthy, it would have been a different story for him continuing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I would imagine if you would have found a reasonable number that you were comfortable with. But, you know, he's battled. He battled his health the last little while, and at least he's healthy enough to warrant a 2-year deal. So good on you, Nick, man.
Absolutely. 37 and 38 years old with 1,120 games in the bank already. So,
all right.
There's something I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah. Sid, it's just.
Sid's just goals. Carrying
it's
Pittsburgh.
A joke, how good
not carrying, dragging the Penguins.
Dragging.
Yeah, because they're kind of lifeless, and he's dragging.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how good he's been.
I don't think I'll make the same mistake and write Pittsburgh off, though, as I did probably with Edmonton earlier.
That PD goal in OT last night, Erik Karlsson is like behind or the offensive goal line in the corner.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's fine. But they're still too talented.
Too many good players.
To miss the playoffs.
Too many good players to miss the playoffs.
All right, want to do some text, Sammy?
Sure.
I think we got I'm going to go first because I just kind of scrolled one. I don't know. Did you get that one?
I'm on the text line.
Okay.
59590. Where are you on?
I don't
Twitter
know. No, this is to me and you.
From where?
He's on Signal.
I told you. At Doodilly Whoodilly, I think.
Kipper, I have no idea what you're talking about, brother.
Well, I got.
Where?
I got a text.
Read
okay.
It.
And
okay.
It's to the fan, and you guys are on it too. It says, "Hey, Kip, can you please back up the mic a bit? It overpowers everyone else."
Well, that's kind of the point.
That's
my strategy.
Kip has a radio voice, whereas I do not, and I sit back here sometimes. So maybe I should get up there.
It's been described as sucking in helium.
Your voice?
No, yours.
Mine? Yeah, sure. That's much more like it. Yeah, I'm more familiar with that description than the radio voice.
All right. Did you get the one that wants an explanation or a hot take on your hoodie today? Did you get that one?
I saw that one. That's from my boy Rick Young. He said it was really nice.
The most aimless hoodie of all time. Go sports teams.
Well,
all of them.
It's the super wild card weekend this weekend in the NFL, which is one of the best weekends of the year sports wise. And the Toronto Maple Leafs just chose to play both evenings, which I'm really excited about. Thanks a lot, Leafs.
It's
nothing sacred. It's the NFL playoffs. Don't play Sunday of the NFL playoffs.
Bold.
It's either that or it's just you're out of ideas to wear.
No, I'm wearing this because I love NFL football. And it's a big NFL football weekend.
But we got to get
Bills fan. He wouldn't be wearing the Dolphins, Jets, and Patriots.
I'm not a Bills fan. I'm not a Bills fan. I'm a fan of the entire AFC. I enjoy all the teams in the AFC. I root for them vehemently. So there you go.
So then grab a shovel and go help the Bills this weekend.
If I lived within a 2-mile, 3-mile radius of Buffalo, of the stadium, I'm 100% there with a shovel helping them dig out. There's going to be some wild weather this weekend. I don't know if you saw the Kansas City stuff, but it's like going to be dangerously cold, like minus 30 wind chill.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's just do winter. Let's have a bit of
I read a story about Tua that Tagovailoa.
Above 60 degrees? What?
Yeah, he hasn't won a game that's like below 35 degrees or something. He's done. They're done. They got those. Really, not their uniforms don't travel. All right. Anyways, I'm going to read one here. I heard a rumor. This is from a tech. They didn't put their name on it. Put your name on it, and then I'll read it on air. I heard a rumor that the Canucks are targeting Gensel before the deadline. Is there any truth to that, or how plausible is it?
So I wrote earlier in my my notes for the Toronto Star that he turned down $50 million from Pittsburgh.
Oh, my.
Pardon?
This is news.
Yeah. Jake Guentzel.
50?
Ballpark 50. But the...
With an eight-year term?
Nope. Six.
Ooh.
Eight and a half. That's fine money, yeah.
Eight and a half. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is Jake Guentzel 2 or 3 years older than Willie Nylander?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So he won't...
He's 29.
So he's 29, turning 30, correct?
Yep, he's in his 30th year.
An eight-year deal out of Pittsburgh probably isn't that realistic, but 10 times six for a guy that's shot the puck in the net more times than Willie Nylander in less games is a compelling argument.
Yeah. Interesting, too, because Pittsburgh has so many salary commitments. Like, they can't necessarily go to the max. I do wonder.
And he's been consistent score.
For sure. Guentzel. He's been good.
He's really good.
I wonder if they're not a team that will look to do what the Blues did with Shattenkirk and Stastny. And even though they're competitive this year, trade a guy like him and try to bring in a player.
Does it make any sense that Kyle Dubas is under instructions or the belief that he can still get this team to win the Stanley Cup with Sid Crosby being an MVP type? And you trade Guentzel.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like, can you get someone who helps? Bud. The problem is Dubas has been in Toronto for years going, we'll just own rental a Zach Hyman or go through the laundry list of guys who eventually just left. Like, has he learned some lesson about you can't just let guys leave? Eventually it gets real thin, so.
Mm. You're right, though, Kipper.
Yeah.
Your
argument's much better.
Since having an MVP season. And he's dragging them into the playoff conversation. Yeah. It's like, wow, you know that guy that like you really like playing with and is really good and scores a lot of goals? We're going to trade him for futures. Yeah. It's like, well, what future? The one where I'm not here?
Good point.
If by chance Vancouver can find a way to get him.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's got like Stanley Cup aspirations written all over it.
Love it.
This one's from Nathan in Calgary.
The Nate Dog.
How good does that Sharangovich trade look now? People did not like the trade at the time, but it seems like it's going to be a steal for Conroy.
I really like Sharangovich. A big believer in him. He didn't make sense. He was redundant for New Jersey.
How'd they get Toffoli? Him again? Remind me.
Toffoli.
Yeah. Okay.
And Toffoli's been pretty useful in New Jersey. Yeah. I feel like they kind of both win this trade because now you've got a 25, 26-year-old kid who can contribute for Calgary, hopefully for years. So
he's a big,
call it a win,
strong kid.
And they got a three with him, too. They got a third-round pick with him.
With Sharangovich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good trade.
Very good.
Calgary's going to have to dish some guys. Do you think they sign Hanifin?
Well, if you're Hanifin, why would you sign?
Because you're being offered... $50-60 million. That's
okay.
Why.
All right, sure.
Yeah.
I'll stay.
Because that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
You assume he's in the ballpark of $7.5-8 million a year.
He just does everything, right? Like, he skates so well. He's a big guy. He can contribute offensively. He's going to cost a lot of money, but the Flames, should pony up, I think.
Yeah. And the other defenseman to keep an eye on, guys, is with Ottawa going into the tank, like, what's their decision? And we had Doug McLean on earlier talking about not even close who the best defenseman in Ottawa is. It's Sanderson. But you got Chabot at $8 million. Like, where is Jacob Chychrun in the future of the Ottawa Senators?
26 points have in 37 decide? Games.
Yeah, they had to.
No, but.
They have to sign him.
Yeah.
They have to sign him.
For sure.
Okay, so Chychrun's going to be looking for similar money like Hanifin. At seven and a half.
So.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he plays almost 23 minutes a night.
Can they do that? Can they have Sanderson, Chabot, and Chychrun all above $7 million?
You know what my problem with that is? My only problem with that? They can, but none of them, to me, are enough. You know, they're all, maybe Sanderson will be.
Sanderson
may be like a top half number one guy, but like Chychrun's good. Like, kind of in the Morgan Riley mold. And I think we've complained here in Toronto, or people have, that you don't have one of the elite number ones.
Someone mentioned to me that the Leafs may be calling Ottawa just to see on Chychrun. Because there was Chychrun talk prior to him getting traded to Ottawa. I wonder if the Leafs revisit that.
What would Chychrun have left on his?
He's got this year and next year.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're correct. 4.6.
And here's the tricky part for Ottawa is that if you choose not to trade him this year and you maybe move him at the draft, you get less.
Yeah, I'm so sick of the at the draft thing. It's better to wait till then.
There's more value in trading for him now with two chances at a Stanley Cup with him on the old deal than just one.
Agreed.
And Ottawa has to weigh that out. So here are your choices. Trade him now, trade him at the draft, trade him next trade deadline, or sign him. Those are your only choices.
Yeah. He is a name to watch then. Keep an eye on Chychrun at Ottawa.
I'm just seeing what else we got here. Do you think that Nick Cousins is the dirtiest player in the league?
I certainly did this
season,
this year.
For sure.
Yeah, before this season,
I
want to
see more proof, though.
There's no real, like, that's a dying.
Like, Radko Gudas is pretty filthy.
When it just felt like there was, for a while there, with
the Patrick Coletta days.
Cook and Coletta.
He's just
got to
back it up. That's all. If you're going to play that hard and that dirty, buddy, you got to drop your gloves now. You got to answer the bell a little bit.
Yeah.
Are the Flames going to trade Jacob Markstrom from Corey in Calgary?
Yeah, interesting. You know, he's
saw Weeks and Sweet today.
What's he have left on his deal?
He's got quite a bit.
Yeah,
he
does.
Two more years at $6
million? No, I think maybe even longer.
I'm just looking it up now. Deal. Radio here.
Take a moment. Yeah.
I think he signed six times.
Yeah. All right. He is $6 million this year and then two more.
Yeah.
Big ticket.
Okay.
So they got to eat money on that for a contender to take him.
That's not part of the, if they are even contemplating making calls, I'm not discussing with teams holding salary on that.
You're saying we want to get the money off the books. Yeah,
he's been good.
Yeah.
He's been really good. You're getting a good goalie. I'm not holding any money on Markstrom.
Yeah.
With a goalie shortage that's out there right now.
He's been a 9-10 in 25 games on a pretty mediocre team.
Some nights I've watched him, he's been lights out.
Yeah. God, his last year wasn't very good.
He's up and down.
Yeah.
He can be as hot as anybody.
Yeah, but so the whole team.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, the goalies that you love are just guys that, like, you kind of know what you're going to get. Like, you expect something, and he's not that.
No.
He's really hot and cold. All right, boys. That's it for text.
So we've worked now over 3 years, and I continue to learn something about you guys every day. Uh-oh. Today, I learned that we would not have a show today if you two weren't pizza delivery guys.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, my favorite job ever. Number one. Other than this one, clearly.
I do not see the link.
The link is that I drove around for almost 10 years. Well, maybe not 10, 6. Listening to Sports Talk Radio, listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan, listening to Blue Jays games on the station, being like, I could do this, and loving it. I love sports, and then that's basically the reason I got into it, because I delivered pizza and listened to so much Sports Talk Radio.
Well, it's...
So if it wasn't for old Domingos, I wouldn't be here.
So it's a good thing you weren't listening to, like, the Dr. Ruth show. Who's a sex therapist, right? Who knows?
Yeah. I could do this.
Ended up.
Yeah, I know. So there you go. But you deliver pizza too. It's an incredible job.
It's an awesome job. I did it for Boston Pizza, for Bretto in Kelowna, BC. But I did it for a couple spots.
It's kind of changed now because there's all like the delivery things, like the Uber Eats and all these different things. So it's not like the same as it used to be. Let me get on my high horse here about delivery and the state of delivery these days.
You never spit on anyone's pizza, did you?
Hell no. Of course not.
Slice.
I mean, they give me a bad tip. I might do a burnout in the driveway. But always tip your delivery drivers. It's, you know, you tip servers, and I tip servers well. But think about it: if you're going to stiff a delivery driver, they took their personal car, drove into.
There's nobody on the planet that doesn't ask for a tip anymore.
Oh, you can't even go get a coffee. They're like, they spin the iPad. You're like, buddy,
your
want me to go behind there and pour the coffee
maker?
I can go back there and pour the coffee if you want. Anyway,
rant.
All right, we gotta go. I feel like we should be hearing some music.
Know. Oh,
there we go.
Oh, there's our cue. That means the weekend's starting.
Let's go.
Our thanks to Eric Dean covering the Avalanche and, of course, Off the Rails Friday with Doug McClain. Have a safe weekend, everybody. If you get a chance, give us a rating and a review.